God is good. God is great.
Amen.
How many understand what a trust is? It's got five main parts. The one who makes the trust, that's called the trustor, or the author, or the owner, or the benefactor, etc., etc., promisor, and so on. So someone who makes a trust is someone who has something. Something. And he has a benevolent heart. So God is the owner of the trust. That's where we got the idea. It isn't really known throughout the whole world, but in a way everybody knows about it because it's kind of on your heart, is that good people should lay up stuff for their kids, their grandkids. So that idea is with everybody. But God started the idea of being benevolent. In other words, someone who has holiness, he's holy, never sins, never does wrong. Then he's merciful. He shows mercy to people that do wrong, so they don't have to be spanked every time. They learn. And then also power, the power to execute his holiness and his mercy. But it's kind of a trick because, and I said there were five things. So this first here is God, way up at the top. God is our benefactor, and he is holy, merciful, and mighty. And then, after that, God is not just our benefactor, but he expresses that. And every time you make a trust, you have to write an instrument or a document. You could do it orally, but if it's going to be permanent, maybe say for your grandson, you need to write it down because it has to last for a while. But you could do it just orally sometimes, hold something for someone else, and that would be held in trust. In other words, it's not mine, I'm just holding it for you. And then to make a trust, you always have to put something into it. There has to be some kind of benefit or profit or advantage or some kind of property or money or dollars or houses or something or other to make it. Otherwise, there's no trust. You could have everything else, but it's not a trust until you actually put something into it because you're the benefactor and you're setting aside some specific property, not just general something. It has to be exact. This is what I'm putting into it, and therefore, it's a promise that you'll get the rest of it later. So a trust is always built on the benefactor, God in this case, promising something and then not delivering all of it. It's a trust. So you get a little bit now. That's called a present interest. And then you get all of it later. That's called a future interest. Now, no future interest can ever be effective without a present interest. In other words, if you give a future, you have to give something in the present, and usually something daily or monthly or annually, kind of intermediate. So initially, there should be something. If it's a trust, it should give somebody some benefit. Now, the trustee then of the trust, way at the bottom there, number four, the trustee of the trust is always like, you know, a friend of yours or maybe your son giving to his children or something like that. Or could be a lawyer. I wouldn't use a lawyer, but you can use a lawyer. Or a bank. I wouldn't use a bank, but because they want something for it. But if you use your own son or if you use your own friend or something like this, dude, for free or just for some expenses or something like that. In other words, they don't want to take anything out of the trust that goes to the wife or to the grandchildren or to the, you know, the other kids or something. I've done this many times, and I did it for my mom's estate, which was negligible. But nevertheless, I was the trustee for my sister and I. And so part of my job was to make sure that we inherited equally because that was in the trust. And so I not only made it equal, I actually gave her more because, and took nothing. Because, I don't need it. She needed it badly. And so she wanted a bunch right away to pay off her bills. She had a lot of bills and a lot of kids and whatnot. So a lot of needs. And so I was happy to do it. I mean, I can do it. You know why? Because what's mine, I can also give to her. So I put a trust inside of a trust. Simple. But at any rate, it should be fair. Or we use a word in law called equity, equitable. Now, in the Hebrew language, God is called chesed. Who can say chesed? Chesed. You have to use your, it's called guttural. You have to ch. So it's not aspirated like chesed. No. Chesed. It's kind of like the German. You know, the Germans are like that. Rausmitcher. You know, they're just rough. So you have to put that in there. All right, let's do it again, because that's kind of fun. Chesed. Now, the Jewish people love that sound, because that not everybody can do it. They just say chesed. It doesn't quite have the same thing. So the Hebrew word chesed means, and this is really cool. I know you're not used to learning a lot, but I want you to learn a lot. Chesed is a kind of loving kindness, the loving kindness of God. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a benefactor. And that's why he made the promise. I will give you. Remember, he said it to Abraham. I will give you. I'm going to show you a land. Now I'm going to give you the land. And then I'm going to, you know, bless you and anyone, blah, blah, and so on. Made a bunch of promises. And so chesed means that the God of the covenant, the Lord of the covenant, it could be an equal covenant, this for that, but it's normally not. It's one-sided, where the grandparent gives to the grandchildren. So that would be you. You get to give to that one sitting next to you there, that one. Take care of him. Make sure he's taken care of. Not his parents. They're paying bills and whatnot. But the grandparents, you know, they don't have all these expenses and stuff, and they're not consuming every dollar they take in. And so you take care of your children. And if you did that, we wouldn't need these welfare state things if we operated by trusts, where the grandparents, instead of spending everything in their lifetime, they actually would save up. And we do that, my wife and I. Not just for the children during their growing up years, but for their children or our children's children. And so there are many things you can give. It doesn't have to be money. It can be all kinds of things. Wisdom. But something has to be put into that trust to make it a trust. So we call that in the middle the corpus or the res or the property of the trust. That's what makes this trust work, is that middle thing, number three. So there's a law of the trust up here. It tells all the terms and conditions of this covenant here that this is going to go to this one right here. This is the beneficiary of the trust. So there's the five, the benefactor, the beneficiary, and here's the means by which the beneficiary gets as much of the benefit, if not all of it, as possible. And therefore, there's the law of the trust, which doesn't go to the beneficiary, but the law of the trust goes to the trustee, who then often has to sacrifice to fill up that trust in case something goes wrong, because that guy might steal it, so that everything goes to the beneficiary as intended. So intentionality is very big in a trust. In regular law, it's not. In regular law, it doesn't matter what you intended, it's what you said or what you did. That's all. So if you made a mistake, too bad. So regular law doesn't have the mercy in it, the chesed, the loving kindness, because you broke the law. That's it. Now you have to be punished, period. Now, a judge could be merciful, and that would be called equity. It's not demanded by the law. But he might discern that in this case, there needs to be some equity, and so that would come in there where he had some mitigating of the punishment by saying, instead of giving you the full 10 years, we're going to give you three years and a couple of years probation and so on. So those things happen all the time in law and equity. That's why our federal constitution speaks of law and equity. Because if law, the letter of it, should do harm in such a way that wasn't intended, then equity has to step in. In other words, the actual application of the law could do harm to someone that it wasn't intended to do harm to. We have many laws like that on the books that actually take away your liberty when it has to, under the Constitution, always be for you, the beneficiary, for your benefit, for your good, for your happiness. Now, what's interesting about this whole thing is that God always, always, always is a loving Father. He has never, ever been, nor never could be, an angry judge. Okay? If he had any anger, it wouldn't be toward a person. It would be because of a deed that was done that allowed the beneficiary not to get the happiness and the safety and the joy and all of the reward that was intended. So the whole world is based upon this concept, this idea that God's a loving Father. Did you know that God is your loving Father? He can never be an angry judge. Never. And to prove that, he took all the anger out on Jesus, and then Jesus rose from the dead. So it showed he wasn't even ticked off at Jesus. And Jesus took that for me. He died for me. And when he came into the trust that Adam had started and didn't do so hot on, the trustee can always be changed. Because somebody needs to make that original intention of the author, the creator, the trustor, the owner, the promisor, and so on. They have to make that happen. They have to execute that. So this up here, the law of the trust, is the holy part of God. This is the merciful part of God, that he intended this beneficiary to get all the benefit. And this is the royal part that executes. So here's the legislative branch, then judicial branch, and then the executive branch that executes whatever. And in this case, Jesus decided to get executed himself under that law so that the promise would go wholly here for us, even though we didn't deserve it. Many times the person receiving the equity of God doesn't deserve it, like 100% of the time. 100% of the time. So nobody deserves the love of God. It's just given to people that not only don't deserve it, but they actually have done everything to oppose God and go away from God and not do what he said. How many know that everyone here has sinned, unless you're a pastor? No, even pastors sin. So, in fact, biggest of all, Pastor Jim, if anything should go wrong in your case, because I am fiduciary, meaning I am responsible for your safety and happiness eternally. Now, not temporally. All I do is remind you that the temporal is only one aspect, the left hand of God. The temporal is only one aspect, but the eternal is the most important. I've given many messages on that, and I'll give a lot more. But God's eternal is first. As a matter of fact, if you seek first the kingdom of God, God will give you everything else. Just give it to you. Free gift. And so it's really good to get right with God first. As the young man who was baptized recently, he got right with God, and he didn't do anything. All he did was go under the water. You remember that? It was raining that day. That was a funny day. God was God was baptizing everybody. Now here's a new baby over here. What is this baby's name? What is it?
Lona.
Lona. Well, that was the grandmother's name. Amen. Hi, Lona. He says, how come everybody's looking at me? This is the first time she's been here. You know, it's your first time. Yeah. Look at, how old is she now?
She's 4 months.
4 months. Wow. It's already a person. So, I'm sure Lona, her parents have already set up a trust for her. It doesn't have to be formal, but so that she gets all the benefit. And I've told my wife that I want to take all the burden, number 4, and give her all the benefit, number 5. So the purpose of a good pastor, or a good husband, or a good president, or a good anything, is always that somebody should bear the burden and somebody should get the blessing of it. Now, many times it's the opposite. The person that's in charge takes all the blessing, and the person that they're supposed to be watching over gets all the burden. Now, that does happen a lot. But it wasn't God's idea. That's in rebellion. Now, how many know God's not mad at those people that do that? He's mad at what they did. But he's not personally angry at them. And when you get personally angry at someone that God likes, then God doesn't like that. And he'll have to chasten you or rebuke you or teach you or train you and tell you, don't do that. And not because he's mad at you for doing it. They did something wrong, then you did something wrong to them, which you weren't supposed to deal with that, because God likes to deal with that. So when someone does wrong, God loves to be the one that decides what's good and evil. Now, people love to make their own decisions about that, especially for people that are submitted to them or in their care. This is good for you, even though the other person doesn't think it. So I've told my wife, if I do something that I believe is good for you, but you don't agree, then you just object. Did you do that for me to bless me? And so she does that sometimes. Are you sure that's blessing me, what you just did or said? And I've taught her how to do that. In other words, I've given her the protocol for how you approach a abusive husband or an abusive pastor, because I have different titles. And she utilizes that. She is so interested in herself that she notices when something doesn't seem to her that it's correct. Now, that doesn't mean she's right. As I often will argue. Did you do that for my good? Absolutely. She's not so sure. And so it's good. And I want her to do that. I want her to say whenever she doesn't feel like she's blessed, completely, totally, 100%. How many know that a husband cannot actually do that? But if he's submitted to God, if Jesus, the Son, is submitted to his Father, then we, the children of the Father, will receive all the blessing. So you've got to have this guy submitted to this guy in order that this guy might get all the blessing and this guy might keep all of the burden. So that's a trust. Does everybody understand? I know you don't, because it's a new idea. Put your trust in the Lord, the Bible says. Put your trust in the Lord. This is what it's talking about. And I obviously have looked at it a lot, studied it a lot, and I'm kind of an expert in that, both law and equity, because it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So I could easily be a lawyer because I've studied all about law, and I read it 4 or 5 hours a day for 17, 18 years, every day, because I like it. I enjoy reading. For example, I've read all of the Texas reports from the foundation of Texas, every single case that ever came before the Supreme Court. I read every case. just 1 year after another, after another, after another. I love doing that. Wouldn't that be exciting? Would you like to borrow my books? No. Most people don't like reading things like that. But I've also read all the founding fathers of America, all the founding fathers of Texas, and so on. In fact, I've also read everything that Cicero wrote or that, you know, some other person. I've read several thousand years of law over and over again and over and over and over and over. And so I'm a good reader. I like to read all that. Because it's all in the Bible. Everything that's in the Bible actually, if you took that as your pattern, everything you ever did would be a joy. Amen. Did you know everything? You know, everything God wants for you is your security, your safety, and your happiness.
Amen.
Safety's first. First to preserve you, keep you alive. Is Lona still alive? Yes. Good mother. After 4 months. And so she's learning, Mom is good. Mom is for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Now, I just want you to know, He's never been against you. He never will be against you. If God were against you, who could be for you? But He's not. He's for you. So who can be against you? Nobody. The answer is nobody. God can never be against you. He could be against Jesus, but He wasn't against Jesus as a person. He was only against the sins that were put onto Jesus that belonged to you. So He wasn't against Jesus at all. Actually, it was for Jesus. And that's why He rose up again on the third day. Now, that pattern actually describes everything that goes on in the world today. So I want to read out of the scripture, and I could read anywhere. I could actually open any page in the Bible and get the exact same message. Because this message is so powerful, all economics, all politics, all social problems are all resolvable by this method of law and gospel. Now, the thing, everyone agrees that God has a law. There are certain laws. Don't eat of that tree. The day you eat of it, you will die. So there's a law with a punishment attached to it to make people behave. But you see here, there's no arrow coming down here to the beneficiary. The arrow goes this way, down to the trustee. So the law of this property goes to here insofar as there's a burden, but over here insofar as there's a blessing. Now, I'm telling you all this for your own happiness and your own safety and your own life. If you understood this, you would realize that you, being sinful, often do things that are not for your own good. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you know. So sometimes you think in your wisdom that you know how to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and you know what good is and you know what evil is. But if you do, you make a big mistake. Because you never know what good and evil is. Because God has reserved something. He's held back something. When He gave the law, He reserves the right, a royal prerogative right. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So he reserves this right that at any time a man sins up here and has to be punished, He reserves the right to show mercy to that person and to punish another if He wishes. He reserves that right. I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy, and I'll be gracious to whom I want to be gracious to. How many know that God could actually forgive a sinner? And since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, amen, 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 God has the right to put all that on Jesus and let you all go free.
Praise God.
That seems unfair. No. That does not seem right. If I were God, I wouldn't do that. As a matter of fact, if somebody does wrong to me, I want to get even. Or give them what they're due. You know, I don't think you should have done that. And so how many know that there's something in everybody here that believes in justice, and you're the one that gets to decide what it is? When they do, you know, like eye for an eye, that certainly is a good one. But sometimes it's two of your eyes for my one eye. How many know that sometimes people overdo the eye thing? And they want all of your eyes gone. That is called unjust enrichment. You're not allowed to do that. So it's not fair. It's not right. It's just not good. It's not true. It's not just. So those words, right, just, true, good, fair, those kind of words that God uses, that is called equity. So the equity is this middle term here. Not two, not four. If God didn't have this middle term here of equity, then law would fall on us, and then the executioner would execute that justice, and we would be destroyed. But God set up this trust pattern where he puts this in the middle and said, make a division under the law. You pay for everything. You pay for the debt. You take care of everything. You make sure this one is safe and secure. So all the blessings go this way and all the burdens go this way. You see that? That's the cleverness of a trust. It's so absolutely necessary that our entire government de jure, that is, legally speaking, is set up for you to get all the blessing and none of the burden. There's no law written against you. Against such there is no law. And it's written so that if God wants to bless you and be your benefactor, no law would ever be executed, would ever be enacted against God doing what God wants to do is to bless you. So that's the way the government was set up. You can read that in Jefferson's Declaration of Independence. You can read the Texas Declaration, 1836. In other words, you can find out that no law is ever given to hurt you. It's given to bless you if you stay or abide within the law. So it's put out, these officers over here, number four, of that law should always be well aware that the ultimate purpose for which this trust exists is not for God to be blessed, but for the one that he loves to be blessed. And God loves you unconditionally. If you remember nothing else, you are the Setuika trust. You are the reason for which the whole government, the whole economy, the whole society, heaven and earth, all exist for your benefit. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Now that's in the Bible. And you could just have me open any page of the Bible, I can show you it's on that page. Beginning to end, Old Testament and New Testament. But God hid that under the law because this is considered the fulfillment or the perfection of the law. In other words, the letter of the law killeth, but the spirit of the law giveth life to me. Killeth him, gives life to me. His life being sacrificed, his death, was for my life. He died so I might live. It's powerful. So the reason why I want to say this and go over it so much is because most people do not think God is that good. As a matter of fact, they think, he doesn't really love me. As a matter of fact, most people don't love themselves because they don't know that God loves them. And that the whole reason you're here is because a loving Father created you to bless you every minute of every second of every day. But most people are still under his law because they don't know that the law was written not to fall on you, but to fall on someone else. Even if you did wrong, he could forgive you. So number three is the forgiveness or the mercy or the chesed, the loving kindness, that God's will toward you. Now, we're not talking here about human law, though human laws could be patterned after this, and in our case, de jure they have, de facto they have not. De facto, many of our laws bring harm to you, injury to you, trespass upon you. They transgress the Constitution, and you don't get the benefit that was intended by the founders. Or the judges interpret it in such a way that you don't get the full benefit. Or the executive branch and justly enriches itself so that even if it was expected that you would get it, they take a bit of it. Now, that happens. How many know people are sinful? So that happens all the time. Don't be nervous about it. God, however, sorts everything out at the end. How many know that God's ultimate, he ultimately will decide what's good and evil. And so even though in this world you may suffer, you weren't intended to, but you could. As a matter of fact, I deliberately want to suffer for your happiness and safety. You do that. You deliberately put yourself into a dangerous situation or do things for the benefit of others. Everybody here can do that voluntarily. If you do it voluntarily, even though you don't have to do it, there's no law that makes you do it. But if you voluntarily put yourself under a trust and become a trustee for another, then you will suffer. How many know some people are beneficiaries and they feel sorry for themselves? I was cheated. I was cheated. Not by God, or by some human. And then you know what he says there? Forgive. Now you don't have to. It just says it'd be best for you. How many know that when you don't forgive somebody, it actually does harm to you? But when you forgive somebody and let it go, because God hath forgiven all your sins, then actually it's good for you. Happiness, you will not be happy if you don't forgive somebody, if you're holding on to them. You did that and I'm going to get even. How many of that hurts you? You won't sleep well at night. You'll constantly be troubled. And then you get all mixed up of what's good and evil and so on and so forth. And after a while, you've destroyed yourself and probably that other person's laughing who did the harm. So many times we have to let things go. Now again, there's no law that makes you do it. If you want to be mad, you can do it. How many here still have a little bit of bitterness about things that have happened? Somebody who let you down? Your fault. Your fault. Why? Because you were supposed to turn that over to God. God, you get them. And I'll tell you why you didn't do it. Because you know God doesn't always want to get them. Sometimes God wants to bless even the bad guy. And he said, I'll take matters in my own hands. Do y'all see what I'm saying? But then, it's okay, God didn't intend you to do that, but you just did it anyway, because you're free. And so, you misused your freedom, however, because the only purpose of freedom was to do what is right. Freedom that does what is wrong is not freedom. That's called license. Licentiousness. In other words, the whole purpose of being free is so you can do God's will freely. But if you misuse that, then it becomes not a good thing. So, do you know that a lot of people do more harm to themselves than they do to others? That could be a good prayer every day. Is God, don't let me harm anybody else. I'm already doing a pretty good job of myself. Most people don't like themselves. But a good trustee, and I am, I'm a good trustee. Why? Not because I'm trying to fix up your life, but because I pray for you. Not only that, I tell you the truth. Not only that, I tell you to read your Bible. Not only that, and so on. So everything I'm doing is actually for your good. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't have any malice toward anybody in the whole world, Al-Qaeda, you know, whoever is doing harm and so on. I don't have any malice toward them. Criminals, you know, corrupt officials. Well, I do make an exception for mechanics that don't actually fix your car. Those people are no good. No. Let it go. It's your own deal. So that's the price of living in this world, is sometimes good things don't happen to good people. Amen? Now, when that doesn't, like Job. Job was a good guy. Remember how he told God, what did I do? I didn't do anything. I did everything right, correct. I'm going to know that no man is justified in his own sight. And Job was having a little bit of trouble there. He said, okay, God, if it is my sin, show me. Right there. And God, God didn't say anything. And made Job madder and madder. I cursed the day I was born. You know, he was really getting ticked at God. Because he said, you know, these guys are saying that all this has happened to me because I was unrighteous. I say I wasn't. And I say, God had no cause to deal with me like this. Now, how many know that God has secret ways of doing things that he'll sometimes hide his goodness, number three, underneath number two? And so when you read the law, you could misread it. You might misunderstand it. And I would say many pastors do not know the gospel in its fullness, and not because they're malicious or something. They just don't know. And if you don't know, you don't know. So I'm not mad at them. They just don't know. But I can't do what they did because I do know. And so I would be guilty. They might not be. But in any event, God loves them. So you have to pray for your enemies. We don't just pray for our loved ones. We pray for our enemies and forgive our enemies. We confess our own sins, praise God, and bless our enemies. That's true worship. Amen. So true worship is not just worshiping God. True worship is worshiping God in such a way that I confess my own sin and I bless others. Anybody, everybody. So I want to get you ready for the day when he comes back, and I want you to be happy. See that smiley face? I want you to be happy the whole time. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'd say most of you aren't. Just guessing. Most of you have moments when you're really, you know, mad, and some of you have a permanent mad. You know, it's like, just mad. Pastor, don't laugh like that. But you have the power to forgive and forget. You have that power. It's your own decision. If you're miserable and unhappy, it's not because of what others didn't do or did do.
Amen.
It's because of what you believe or don't believe. So your sin is unbelief. You don't really believe that God the Father loves you and guarantees himself that if this trustee doesn't do it, he'll put another one there until this is full and you get everything. And so God guarantees that you'll never be cheated. It's impossible. It's impossible that you aren't blessed today and any thought you have to the contrary is wrong.
Amen.
Now, that means, and I believe that, I believe everything's going my way.
Yes.
We'll say, Pastor, do you see that happening? No. I just believe it. Why? There's a promise. Well, how do you know that promise is true? Because I've already seen some parts of that promise come to pass. Well, have you seen all of it? No, of course not. I'm not even looking for it. I don't even want to see heaven on earth. I just believe in it. I totally believe in it. And I'm the one that gets to, just for my sake, bring it to pass in my own life and in your life, because you're under my charge. So I want to make sure everybody here is happy. So could I see a show of hands of all those that are incredibly, unbelievably happy? All the time. Yeah, you don't see it though. It's by faith, right? It's by faith. But actually, every once in a while, if you have that faith, every once in a while, you see it. If you believe, you'll see.
Amen.
Not if you see, you'll believe.
Right.
So if you see, that's because you believed.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you believe, the more you'll see.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really up to you.
Yeah.
Because he made the promise. And you know where you get faith from?
The word of God.
Hearing, not just the word of God, but hearing the word of God, that's a rhema of his goodness toward you, his benefit toward you, his love toward you, his loving kindness toward you, his chesed. Now, to say the word benefit, that word in the Hebrew is gemul, G-E-M-U-L. Gemul, or togmul, means God wants to give you a benefit every single moment, every single day. Woohoo! So I'm living in that. I don't pay attention to all the other stuff. I forgive and forget that. I believe that God, did you know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? I believe because I love the Lord and I'm listening to him that I don't need to look at circumstances. I don't need to listen to my emotions or my mind or my will. I just need to read the Word. Keep my eyes on Jesus. This middle point is what's so weird. Why would a holy God, holy is He, why would a holy God love sinners? That doesn't make any sense. Why would an all-powerful God let me get away with sin and not get me every time? So He's holy and He's got all the power, so He's all-knowing, He's all-wise, and He's all-powerful. Why doesn't He just get me? And because He puts His wisdom here in the middle and said, I got another way of doing it. Instead of Jim getting the burden that he deserves, I'm going to give him the blessing that he doesn't deserve, and I'll put all the burden that he does deserve right here. And so that's the way I want to do it. Why? Is there any law that makes God do that? No. The law doesn't say that that should happen. The law says the opposite, that the man who does the sin should pay. The day you eat of it, you'll die. So if you do something wrong, there's a consequence. You sowed, you reaped. How many know that most Christians believe that? Most Christians believe that. That whatever you sow, you reap. Oh my gosh. That would be awful if you believe that. That would be awful. Unless you understood three. That even though, listen to three. It's so weird. What you sow, Jesus reaps. So you sowed sin and He died for it. You did wrong and He got the spanking. I love that. I don't know why that sounds good news to me. I just love the way God interprets His own word. The way God looks at the law is not the imperfect law where flesh should behave, but the perfect law that says God should pay for what He wants. So if God wants me to be holy, let Him pay for it. Not only will He forgive me, but then He will actually change me and give me His own Holy Spirit living inside of me and then perfect me. Ha! Wow, what a deal. What part do I do? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Well, that's my part. Yep, here's your part. Thank you. I praise you. I love you. That's it. No, this is nothing. How can you do something if He's done everything? God didn't just do a good. Everything He did was good. And it did everything for you, and you haven't thanked Him yet. So all He wants you to do on a daily basis is give thanks to Him for everything. Because He missed nothing. Whatever you needed, He already did. You needed to be here, He did that. Then you needed to be forgiven, He did that. Then you needed to be changed, He's doing that. And then you need to be perfected, He'll do that too. So you got present, past, future, He's got it all there. You can trust God who in the past gave a promise, but you got a blessing, an immediate blessing. You are here. After all, you're here. I mean, you should be dead. If the wages of sin is death, you should be dead. That's proof pudding right there. That's proof right there. Because I should be dead a long time ago. 3 years ago and another couple weeks, I fell off the roof onto my head, onto the cement, head first, 10 foot. I should be dead because I was 70 years old. If you fall off a 6 foot ladder, people die. Some people just fall down. I'm not that bad yet. But I should have definitely died there because I wasn't even using my hands. No. I was holding a broom because I was up on my roof when the roofers were roofing and trying to sweep off the dirt so it didn't go into the attic and get the attic all full of dirt, you know. Well, that was my own idea. And Willis was there that day and had six or seven guys working for him. And, Pastor, you don't need to do that. Yeah, no, I do. I don't want all that dirt going into my attic. Look how fast your guys are going. They're just ripping that stuff off, you know. I don't want all that in there. So I was up there, and all of a sudden I blacked out and just dove head first, with still holding on to that little broom thing. Wow. Like that. But here I am, alive. And I haven't lost my mind. Said, absolutely no brain damage. But it did. It crushed my skull, and my lung collapsed, and the ribs, and 10 of those, and, you know, the vertebrae, 4 of those crushed, and all that stuff. But I'm fine. Amazing. Amen? Amen? Well, I don't know if I'm fine, but I'm functioning pretty much as I did before. And it was just a short time, and I was back to everything. You know why? Because I believe God likes me. And not only that, I think He has a job for me. And not only that, you need me.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you the truth. You know, a lot of pastors, I tell you what, to be a pastor, to tell people the truth, they don't want to hear it. You know, they want to hear how wonderful things are and how great they are. And I'm telling you they're wonderful and great, but I'm also telling you the rest of the world doesn't look like that. So I want you to know, stop holding God accountable for bad things that people do or that you do. Because He's got a plan here to bless everybody, but it would be good if you'd be the light and the salt here of one who's just taken it. Just take it. Because Jesus did it already. He already forgave you all your sin. Now He's sending you the Holy Spirit that's over here to change you, transform you into His likeness day by day. And then by the time the trumpet blows, you'll be perfected. So you should enjoy this little journey here of becoming like Him. In fact, you're going to get married to Him. I think it's awesome.
Amen.
So the lawless one loses. How many know that Satan, the Antichrist, the bad guy, he actually is going to rule in a few years? We're going to be here. And isn't that exciting?
No.
Aren't you excited about that? Do you think that God kind of overlooked that? Don't you think He kind of figured that in?
Yeah.
That Antichrist actually is going to be a blessing.
That's right.
He means to do harm. He will try to, you know, hurt us. He's an antichrist. He's against Jesus being a good guy and saying God's good. Because most of the world, 99% of the world is all into God's angry judge who wants you to behave or else. Ours is the only one that says you can misbehave and He'll forgive you and then change you and then perfect you. And you can be happy today knowing that. There's the only one like that. I go all over the world. You go to Russia, nobody's smiling. Unless they have vodka. They are not smiling. I'm telling you, those people are sad and miserable. You go into any third world country, there's a lot of sadness there, a lot of misery. Because a handful of people control everything, and they've got everybody under their law, under their rule. They don't have equity. They don't care one iota for the people that are oppressed under them. Life is worth nothing. So you can go all over this continent and other continents, and you'll find that there's very little hope or light or salt or truth out there. Well, anyway, God's not interested in all that. You know what He's interested in? You. He's interested in you right here in Texas, one state under God.
Yahoo.
He's interested in you being blessed. You should be the salt and the light of the earth. And if we're the only trustees for the rest of the United States and the rest of the world, so be it. How many are ready to be a trustee for that? You know, first of all, beneficiary. Start out as beneficiary and then go through the whatever it takes to get there. And then, you know, be one of these for one of those. And I believe that's our calling. I believe that in these last days, we are to share this good news with people. And it would help if you change your face. It would help if you put a smile on your face so that people knew that the good news really was good. And so wherever I go in the world, people, they're not smiling, but I am. Hi! Yahoo! And they're kind of, you know, they don't know what to do. Because in Russia, you don't want to do anything. They're just frozen like this. And I've often thought if a child fell down under the crush of the crowd, that no one would look. No one would deal with it. Because they don't want to get into anybody's business because they're full of fear. So it's a grim world out there. And people are killed. It's a violent continent, Africa. It's a violent world out there. Even in America now. Yeah. Even here in Texas. But, praise God, there's still many who believe that this trust actually works.
No.
Now, I want to read a couple of passages and they'll quit. What shall we say then? Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, meaning ancestor, as pertaining to the flesh, found. For if Abraham were justified by works, number 2 up there, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So, in other words, Abraham wasn't justified, made right with God by works. He was justified by God's own chesed, loving kindness, and his mercy, and his benefits, gamol, because that's the way God operates. He has blessed you so much, Judy. You can't believe how much he's blessed you.
Amen.
Margaret, you've been blessed. And it's not stopping either. It goes on for all eternity. He's never going to stop blessing you. Wouldn't it be good if you started today to rejoice in that? Can you rejoice in this dark, imperfect, uncertain, insecure world?
Amen.
The answer is no to the flesh. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
So because I believe God sent me as a sheep in the midst of wolves, I believe that he said that's the way I want to do it. What? That don't make any sense, God. Why don't you send me as a wolf in the midst of sheep? Could you reverse that thing for my benefit? He said, no. Look, I'm just telling you something. Here's what I want you to do. Just trust me. Put your trust in me. Put your trust in me. It'll all work out. Did you know that all things work together for them that love the Lord?
Amen.
Did you know that if God be for you, who can be against you?
Hallelujah.
If God's against you, who can be for you? But he isn't. He's for you. So how can anything go wrong?
That's right.
I'm not saying be naive. What I'm saying is be trusting. And realize in this world that God does not desire the death of any sinner. Doesn't want any sinner to die. But he wants the sin to be destroyed by you being the light, smiley face, that, you know, being a Christian is wonderful, not because everything looks wonderful, but because God's promises are wonderful. I'm relying on the fact that God is my benefactor. And that middle thing, I don't understand, because that is going to change the holiness of God and the power of God. The holiness here, the power down here, this mercy thing means that the holiness can't destroy this guy, and that this executioner here cannot ever, ever keep this guy from being safe and happy. You see, mercy actually changed both of those. This factor here, the middle factor, changes everything, the promise of the gospel. That I swear to you, he raised his hand, I swear to you that even in this world, you can have happiness. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even in this world. If he could change, how many know God could change the world and make it all look nicer? Or he could just kill you and take you home. No. He wants you to rejoice here by faith in his promise. So it kind of shows your heart. Do you really believe God is good? I guarantee you it says he is. Now watch this Abraham guy. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. God then said, righteousness is not you obeying the law, it's God obeying the law. Did you hear that, what I just said? It isn't that you kept the law, it's that Jesus kept the law for you in the name of the Father. So the law that God gave, which was basically be like me, Jesus did that, and he did it voluntarily. No one made him do it, he wasn't under any law to do it. He just said, I want to keep the law so it doesn't fall on Jim, even if it kills me. And it did. But he said, that's what I wanted to do. I came. I came to die for all his sins. Woohoo! Well, I mean, right there, that's good news for me. Because I had, I think, over 24 sins. Has anybody had more than that?
Yeah.
Praise God. So I had a few sins. How many know you have secret sins sometimes? How many know you have unknown sins you didn't even know about? How many know you're a lot more selfish than you think you are? And you're not quite as good as you think you are. How many know that you don't have a right to judge anybody else? For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. Now, because that's the case, it won't happen to us. We're not even under the law. We're talking about God now. You're under man's law, but you're not under God's law. And under God's law, he even promises that man's law, if you'll seek first the kingdom, I'll give you everything else. But if you don't seek first the kingdom, it's your own fault then. So the fact that there's a wicked world out there is because you weren't a light and you weren't a salt and you weren't doing everything you should have and could have done. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Don't you just love it when all the guilt falleth on you? But remember, he's not mad at you. It's actually to your benefit to benefit others. It's to your benefit to help your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. How many realize that mercy thing can really mess you up? Because when you're merciful, that means you're merciful to people that don't deserve it. You should always love people that don't deserve it.
Amen.
There's a whole bunch of them out there. And so if you love only people that deserve it, there may not be too many out there. So if you don't trust anybody, but you love everybody, well, you'd have to be a forgiving, merciful person like God. That's what he means. That's what he's been after. All he wants you to do when you sin is just say, God, I did it. Just confess. I mean, if a criminal would do that, just simply say, I did it. But that's half of the battle right there. That's half of the battle. But in criminal terms, then there you get your sentence or whatever it is. But in God's terms, he doesn't do it that way. He makes Jesus pay for everybody. Everybody, including the criminal. So you do pay here. You do pay here because there are consequences to what you do. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, those consequences can't hurt you, though. If you went into the prison system, if you went into the punishment situation, you would find out if you took Jesus with you, it wouldn't be a punishment at all. It'd be a relief because you wouldn't be addicted to so many things. Because they kind of lower the addiction rate when you're in there in a cell by yourself or with Bubba. You know, it kind of lowers your incentive. Oh, glory. You know, people are a lot better behaved in prison when they can't control themselves. But God called you to be self-governing. You can do it if you follow this. If you follow this trust, you enter into this trust, you can do this. So Abraham was not reckoned by God to be righteous because he was good. He was reckoned by God to be righteous because he thought God was good. He said, I'm not good, but God is. Let God be true and every man a liar. How do you know that everyone is going to be a liar? I mean, even the people that are smiling today in this church service, they actually hate you. Don't worry about that. Just bless them anyway. I know they don't deserve it. They're just thinking of themselves. They're not thinking of you at all. They're just thinking of themselves. When's this thing going to be over? You know, they're not thinking of how wonderful this message was and so on and so forth. Don't you love it?
Amen.
Oh, God is good. Now, to him that worketh, somebody who does the work, is the reward. Okay, if you actually can do the law, do it. But then it's not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, you owe them because they did what you said. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith counts for righteousness. That's interesting. Did you see that? God took into account that everybody here was a sinner. And even though you don't love anybody else, you only love yourself. And you don't love your neighbor as yourself. You just don't. So what? It's still not mad at you. I just want you to know how good this God is. God, he is awesome. He ignores his own law here, which said, be good and don't be bad. And then he puts all the weight on himself and says, I'm going to send all this benefit down to get Jim right now while he's yet a sinner. I'm going to love him while he's yet a sinner. And then I'm going to send my son Jesus to die for all that sin and make another promise. I'm going to build this thing up with lots of benefits and blessings in here. And I want Jim to rejoice, and then any changing, I'll do it for him. I'll do it in him. I'll do it through him. I'll do all the changing. That makes it easy. How many have entered into that sweet rest where you actually can say without feeling it, without understanding it, without wanting it, hi, I love you. Peg, such a joy to see you. And she just threw the knife at me and I just didn't pay attention to it. But she doesn't actually throw knives, but I'm just saying she wants to. If I had a knife right now, I'd stab you. That kind of thing. Peggy can get mad. How many know that she's a nice person, but she can get mad? Especially at me. And I can provoke. How many can believe that? It takes some imagination, but I can be provocative. Is anybody else here gifted with that gift of the other spirit? You know, so did you know that you can, just your presence in the room can actually provoke people? just your just being in the room somewhere. Hi, Miss Holiness, and you know, whatever. It can just make people ticked. You know. In fact, just smiling on an elevator can make people mad. They don't like it. You know. Get real. You know, they don't like it. Hey, I got a scripture for you. You know, they don't want that. I mean, that people do not want to be blessed by you like that. And usually when you try to help people, you actually end up hurting them and harming them. I'm just doing this for your own good. But I tell you what, don't worry about you and how impressive you can be. Just let God love you. Just take the love of God right now. You don't deserve it. You don't need to deserve it. He gave it to you. He doesn't want Jesus to have it. Jesus gets no benefit of all this. Jesus was suffered and killed and so on. He loved it. He actually says, that's why I came. I didn't come to get something. I came to give. Susan. Amen. It's good.
He also gave me a mom that to me is like that loving kindness
good.
Toward me.
Yeah.
Like she just has always stood with me and, you know, seen me in this church for a long time by myself, waited with me step by step for Tim. And then, you know, he comes and Wyatt comes and it hasn't been like really easy. And
right.
The other day, she said, this is like day before yesterday, she's like, I mean, I just don't, you know, like over and over I've heard her say, I just don't see how much harder you can, like, how much harder can you take? And she's like, I mean, you're the person that, you know, loves the Lord the most or knows the Lord or trusts the Lord, something about, you know, my relationship with God. And I said, yeah, well, you know, Mom, I said, Jesus was killed. She goes, yeah, you're right. And I said, and, you know, maybe sometimes he wants to see if you're going to trust him, you know, no matter what.
Right.
And, but see, and just, you know, over the time, because she trusts the Lord, knows the Lord, feels like the Lord has been with her. But then she's also had, like, hardness and, like, rejection or things that she's, you know,
right.
Like hard places.
Right.
But I mean, I believe, you know, that God, I mean, I'm willing
right.
that I could have had these 14 years of our life, even for Mom to see, you know,
right.
if God could use that in
Amen.
Little ways for her to know, you know, and me just speak little small things like that
Amen.
For her to know for herself
right.
between her and God without me having to.
Right.
And, you know, and then just in this, because, you know, we've made the same money and it seems like we have less kind of thing over time. But even so, and with all the crazy world stuff going on, still in me, I'm happy and I like I was telling you, it's like, for whatever reason, I don't remember this in my lifetime, but God, like, has had me lift my eyes toward the heavens and, like, just appreciate the sky and things that I have never really paid attention to, just, like, in the past, I don't know, year or so. And, like, no matter what, I'm happy. You
Good.
Know, not always outwardly, but I mean between me and God, when it's between us.
Right.
You know, praising the Lord is what makes me happy, and I'm sold out. And
it's powerful.
Amen.
It's powerful. That's powerful.
Yes.
Anyone else? Anyone else?
Just, you know, verse 8 says it all.
Yeah.
Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him.
Right. Mm-hmm. He won't.
Wow. Are we lucky?
Yeah.
I don't deserve it.
No. And other people will count it, so you don't have to worry about that. No, other people get a track of all your sin. In case God won't show you any sin, other people will help you. Right there. How many know that you have to believe this? And why didn't God make it easier to believe? I'll tell you what. He's not going to give you more than his promise. He's already done things to prove over the 6,000 years of history that he's been faithful. He hasn't changed. He's still the same steadfast, chesed, loving Father. Always has been and always will be. I just want you to know he's about to pull this world together, and then there'll be 1,000 years of, you know, where only the righteous rule. We've never seen that for 6,000 years. For 6,000 years, the enemy has ruled. But all of a sudden, it'll stop for 1,000 years. And the reason for that is to show that the 6,000 years, nobody had an excuse to gripe and complain. That you could have had this at any time. Just in your own life. But imagine if a whole church loved God with all their heart and soul and strength. Imagine if a whole city. He's never had a city. Ever. Even a small town. He's had small towns, but it quickly goes back to normal after a while. But the truth is, I believe that here, right here in Texas, we could have that right here in Dallas. I believe that. Why? Just from the word. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And I believe it. If I could get a hold of it, anybody could get a hold of it. If I could get a hold of it, you could get a hold of it. That would be a miracle. But you could do it. You could say, from now on, I'm going to be happy because of the promises God has made. Because he's actually, if you ever add up all your blessings, you'll realize they're incredible. You can't even add them up. You need to be focused not on the things that are below, but the things that are above. So your life is hid with God in Christ. First of all, that right there, that's enough to rejoice forever. Second of all, he gives you good family. And even if he doesn't, that means doesn't look like it. They are helping you at least to see what you don't want to be. They're actually, they bring out your worst side. Have you ever noticed that about marriage? It actually brings out your worst side. Now, the public doesn't always see that, but the husbands and wives and children get a glimpse of that. Amen? But you know what? That's a blessing. Because then you realize, you know what? I really need help. I may not be God. It does take away your pride. Yes. It does take away your pride. So even bad things are good. No. See, how do you know what good is? What if all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? That would mean even the bad things actually are good things. So you're the problem then if you don't know that. So you need to keep hearing the promises of God. I'd never dwell on troubles. I don't watch the television much and so on. But I'll tell you, I read this word a lot. And the more you read this word, the happier you are, the safer you are, the more secure. Are you not amazed that you're still alive? Yes. Are you not amazed you're still eating? Yes. Are you not amazed of all the blessings God has given for you? You can just start reading Psalm 103. There's at least a dozen benefits listed there in Psalm 103. But I'll read those another time. But the point is, everything God has for you, and read how big they are, how great they are. There is no end to his blessings. And we could experience them now. Why wait? Why not pull heaven on earth today? Why not start in your own life, in your own family, in our own church? We can start today. You could bless someone today for free. I mean, you can just be good for nothing. I mean, you don't get anything for it. You could just be good. But not for a reward. Abraham was counted righteous because he believed God was good, and that changed Abraham. And therefore, he began to bless all of his children, children's children's children, and each of them began to bless, and so on. And did you know that Israel today is under the law? They're not under the gospel. They killed Jesus. But that was a good thing for Jesus. Didn't hurt a thing because he wanted to bless us anyway, and he got his way. Did you know today, listen to this. This is funny. This is funny. In the Knesset, this is the Israeli legislature, the biggest group are not Jewish. they're Christian. You don't know that. I'm just going to tell you right now. The biggest group are Messianic Jews, meaning they believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is HaMashiach. And therefore, if they elected a president today, it could well be a Christian. Now, you don't know that. There's no news on that. I'm just telling you the truth. That even in China today, the communist leadership are inviting pastors over to teach them the gospel in their own alphabet. They have thousands, a couple of thousand, several thousand, but a couple of thousand characters, and those characters tell the story of the gospel, and they're fascinated by it. These are communists. How many know that God can do anything? Amen. What if he wants to do that? So the best has been saved to the last. I believe all the promises of God. Amen. Standing on the promises. How many know God is good? And he's the only one that's good. And because of that, he loves you. And you can never get evil from God. You can only get good things.